Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're listening to Jane on your all-girl station, 6 minutes before 1 o'clock.
People started burning things and throwing things, and marches were happening, and marches had been happening, you know, peaceful, you know, demonstration marches, but these were angry marches. And Charlie would give us our little tape recorder and say, they're going to have a march on Beale Street this afternoon. Will you go and get a news report? And, of course, we all wanted to go.
We were on the air when people were calling to get interviews, you know, to find out what was going on. Of course, they chose us last because we didn't have any guys, you know, it was all women.
We were not known to be sharp broadcasters. We were lady disc jockeys. But even our station started having calls from all over the world. I'll never forget being on the air and some station in Australia calling me and wanting a report at that moment. So I ad-libbed a report.
Today on Fugitive Waves, part two of WHER 10,000 Beautiful Watts, the first all-girl station in the nation, moves into the 1960s. In our last episode, we began to tell the story of a Memphis radio station called WHER, the first all-girl radio station in the nation. WHER was started in 1955 by Sam Phillips, the man who created Sun Records and first recorded Elvis Presley, Howlin' Wolf, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison. The list goes on and on. In the early days of WHER, most of the women who were hired had no experience in broadcasting. In fact, there were almost no women in broadcasting at that time. Sam Phillips hired telephone operators, models, beauty queens, actresses. Some were young mothers who just needed a job. The station in those early days was located in the third Holiday Inn in the nation. It was a tiny little place, pink and plush, decorated with nylon stockings, undies, and other unmentionables hanging on a clothesline in the lobby. It was a novelty, an all-girl station, but not for long. In the course of producing this story, we found 20 of the women who worked at the station in its 17-year history. We also found the WHER record collection, thanks to WHER announcer Becky Phillips. The music throughout the story comes from that collection, a collection she preserved for over 40 years. Part 2, WHER, 1,000 Beautiful Watts, the first all-girl radio station in the nation.
Most people knew about WHER. It was all girl. We played pretty music. We had news on the hour. It wasn't a come in and powder your nose and brush your teeth and do your laundry type operation at all. It was very professional.
On October 29th, 1955, Memphis was introduced for the first time to a brand new idea in radio entertainment. The city's 9th radio station at that time was to have an all-girl announcing staff. This was definitely a first for Memphis, and not only for Memphis.
I'm Dean Duvall, the sales manager for WHER from 1962 until 1968. It wasn't hard to sell WHER. The spots were not expensive at all. It was extremely reasonable, like our salaries. The car wash people that had the first big automatic car wash was a good account. Johnny Arnold gave us the dog track. When the dogs would be running, they would name a race for us, WHER race. And we'd, of course, go to the track and bet on our dogs.
It's 88 degrees in Memphis. Time for WHER's weather vane, a complete summary of Memphis area weather. Dew point 63.
When it first started out, it was more on the little bit lighter side, more geared to the women.
The look of loveliness. What makes a woman lovely? Her soft smile, her understanding way.
Keeping your home and about children and beautiful music and relaxation and fashions. The very light, fluffy things.
Maybe you'll choose a poodle cut that never needs setting, or the natural bob. Or maybe you'll go modern with the shag or breeze cut.
And then little by little, we'd add different things to it to kind of beef it up a little bit, you know.
Good morning. This is Donna Bartlett and the Monday Morning DB Show. At 7:30 this morning, Paul Harvey News and Commentary, followed by famous columnist Art Buchwald with his amusing comments. Right now, a serious note. There are 6.5 million alcoholics in the United States. Insurance companies will tell you that the lifespan...
In 1965, we moved into the Mid-City building. That time, it was the most glamorous, beautiful place. So very feminine. It was first class all the way.
In the news station, I had the prettiest office in Memphis, Tennessee. Silk wallpaper, and it was so pretty, and I had white French furniture.
Decor by Denise. Dean Duval, she was very famous for her hats, so I made it the head of Hopper sales office.
The hat. That's kind of the way I was known around Memphis. And I worked with my maiden name, which was Duval. I kept changing husbands, so, you know, I had to have a name I could stick with.
The lobby had a mirror about 8 feet tall. In the middle, it said, Beauty Reflected in Sound, WHER 1430. And we used that as sort of a theme. Doors and everything all had little whimsical things that had to do with women's little peccadillos.
We built it where people could come into the lobby of the Mid-City building, and they could stand and watch all the girls broadcast. And you could just see so well the girls doing their thing, and the speaker would be out there where they could hear them.
Soft lights. And, of course, the control room was glassed in. There was a big glass cage where we sat.
This is WHER 1430 on your dial with studios in the beautiful Mid-City building, Memphis.
Dottie Abbott, now Holiday Inn's nighttime sweetheart Dolly Holiday, was WHER's first manager.
Dottie Abbott was the first woman that I had ever known in an executive position like that. But she wanted to move on to do other things. And they hired a man to take her place. And I thought, an all-girl radio station really should have a woman as an executive. I'm sure it was very difficult to find women of the caliber of Dottie. I don't think there were very many in the South in those days that had both the experience that she had in radio and then also had the executive abilities.
It was fascination, I know.
Dottie Abbott was also Dolly Holiday, named after Holiday Inn.
It might have ended right then at the start.
She also sang. They played her songs. It was an album. It was put out by Holiday Inn, and they were playing to the truckers.
She'd make them think that she was making love to them right over that radio line. At this time, it was probably 30 Holiday Inns around the country, and she'd say where they are and how great they were.
It was fascination, I know.
Kimmons Wilson, founder of Holiday Inns.
I'm Nina Sally. I was on the air at WHER 65, 66. Dottie called me and asked me if I wanted to go to work. She said, when can you start? And I said, well, how much do you pay? It was such a little. I said, Dottie, I can't work for that. I can't pay a babysitter. I would come out in the hole. So I just turned it down. And that stuck in her mind. A couple of years later, she called and said that she had changed her name to Dolly Holiday. And she was doing this all-night show, and she said, I need a good copywriter. But she said, I'll pay you the same thing as the girls at WHER, but you won't have to pay a babysitter. And I'd pick up a batch of stuff and then take it home, write all the copy. And a couple of years of that, my daughter started to school, and I thought, I want to get out of the house and be with adults. I don't want to sit home and write by myself. By that time, Charlie Sullivan had taken over as manager of WHER. So I decided I'm going to go and talk to Charlie. Because then I figured, well, I could work there for peanuts because I didn't have to pay a babysitter anymore.
Mr. Charlie Sullivan, the general manager of WHER, is the man in the life of all the WHER girls. He handles his 8 girl announcing staff beautifully.
The girls, always for the most part, are really sweet, cooperative, and hard workers, of course. Like all performers, some of the girls have their temperamental moments, but they wouldn't be good air personalities if they didn't try for perfection, which most of them do achieve. Our WHER disc jockeys, as we like to call them, are in constant demand to make personal appearances, such as being mistresses of ceremonies.
I remember writing an ostrich once in some sort of promotion. I forgot what was opening, a speedway or something. I didn't win. You can't drive an ostrich. It's just, you sort of hold on.
Then there's the natural happenstance of the married girls getting in a family way, a problem which you don't run into in most all male stations. If you'll just pardon the pun, the WHER girls really shape up the station.
9 minutes before, no, 11 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Everybody had a favorite song. You could tell if somebody had had a fuss with their sweetheart or even with their husband by the music they played.
Now, you say you're lonely. Said you cried the whole night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river, 'cause I cried a river over you.
Stand by for another golf report from Peggy Sternberger coming up in a moment.
Sometimes we do remote broadcasts, like we always broadcast the golf matches. Peggy Sternberg was a well-known woman's golfer, and she was a really good commentator. And, of course, that was something, I don't know why, it seemed womanly. So we could get big sponsors for the golf matches.
Peggy Sternberger.
At this point now, in the 36th hole of the Westchester Classic.
Peggy was one of the real pioneers in women sportscasting. She would cover all the major tournaments, the only woman who was covering all the major tournaments. So she was a groundbreaker, and eventually, from WHER, she went ahead and did some stuff for CBS for golf.
Congratulations, Larry, on a very fine round.
That's life. That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune when I'm back on top in June.
And then they let us do a trade out too, the beautiful shop. Remember that? We'd go get our hair all done real pretty and pedicures. Oh, I love that.
Charlie and Dean worked out a trade out with this very exclusive beauty parlor. I mean, these people were good. And we could go and do anything. We could go and get it done because it was a pure trade out. I don't know what kind of a bill we must have run up every month. Because most of the girls at one time or another had bleached hair, you know, and you had to get your hair trimmed and bleached every couple of 3 weeks.
The latest air pollution index in Memphis is 1.02. This is classified as moderate by the Shelby County Health Department. This has been the latest WHER worldwide and local news, Joan Medley reporting. Stay tuned to WHER for all the news as it happens.
The sound that we were projecting had very little to do with news, although we read news twice an hour. It was kind of a surface approach until March. March made us newsworthy.
and good afternoon to you. My name is Marge Thrasher, and I'm your listener and moderator. From now until 2 o'clock, as WHER Radio turns our microphones over to you, the listeners.
Charlie Sullivan called me to do this talk show. He said, Meg, I got just the thing for you. You don't want to stay home with those kids anymore. Anyway, I went on the air and had never heard a talk show. Nobody had talk radio. KDKA in Pittsburgh. And that was it. As far as I know, it was called Open Mic. You were on the air in a big glassed-in window, and everybody in town was listening.
Before we talk to our guests, we would like to review our rules and regulations for Open Mic. Open Mic is operated with a 7-second delay in case we do need to delete portions of conversation or comment.
See, nobody knew what to do with talk radio, especially me. I mean, I never even heard a show. I said, Charlie, what makes you think somebody's going to call?
Are you there? Can you hear?
And he said, no, they'll call.
Oh, and I'm not getting any conversation.
Hello?
Can you push the last button all the way down?
Hello?
That's it. That puts you in contact with us.
This is WHER 1430 on your dial, the studios in the beautiful mid-city building, Memphis.
This is Ray Sherman, United Press International in Memphis. 1,000 striking sanitation workers marched on Memphis City Hall this afternoon and demanded Mayor Henry Loeb hear their grievances.
I urge you to go to work. I promise you that we're working on a raise and have been before this matter
came up. Dr. Martin Luther King urged the Memphis Negro community to engage in a general work stoppage.
I'm Jane Rodak, WHER. There was a garbage strike. Tempers were running high. People that weren't involved in it were angry that we were having all this garbage all over and nobody was collecting the garbage. Garbage workers trying to get fair compensation. It was just a very volatile time.
Tomorrow, the strike moves into the third day, and the mayor is expected to take emergency action.
All labor has dignity. You are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wage.
King promised to return to Memphis Friday to lead a general work stoppage.
Memphis had this story about itself that everything was separate, but it was equal. And when that spotlight got turned on the segregated city that Memphis was, it was obvious it wasn't equal at all.
Pilot said over the public address system, we are sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, and we've had the plane protected and guarded all night. And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now.
I remember standing at the news machine and watching the news tap out that Martin Luther King had just been shot.
Like anybody, I would like to live.
Marge was on the air. And I took her the paper, and I could not talk and tell her what I had in my hands. I couldn't talk.
He was killed in the late afternoon. I was on the air, and they chose Open Mic because of a big listening audience to pay respects. I can remember reading the prepared statement, then played a Mahalia Jackson hymn. And then I said, now we'll take calls.
And we as a people will get to the promised land.
I said, good afternoon. This is Open Mic. And it was a lady. And she said, are you a nigger or a nigger lover? And hung up the phone. I thought, what? I was stunned. Charlie Sullivan was stunned. We had nothing on the air. I mean, this is dead silence. And I got up and walked out.
The police department and Pam.
They
attempted to turn one of the squad cars over.
On the way home, I saw people standing on the corner with shotguns. I'd never seen it before.
Mace was used, which is a chemical gas.
We were downtown Midtown, WHER, and there was a curfew in the city. They didn't want you driving, so they put me up at the Holiday Inn across the street from the studio. And I remember looking out at my window and seeing tanks driving down Union Avenue.
If you're listening to Jane on your all-girl station, 6 minutes before 1 o'clock.
People started burning things and throwing things, and marches were happening, and marches had been happening, you know, peaceful, you know, demonstration marches, but these were angry marches. And Charlie would give us our little tape recorder and say, they're going to have a march on Beale Street this afternoon. Will you go and get a news report? And, of course, we all wanted to go.
We were on the air when people were calling to get interviews, you know, to find out what was going on. Of course, they chose us last because we didn't have any guys. You know, it was all women.
We were not known to be sharp broadcasters. We were lady disc jockeys. But even our station started having calls from all over the world. I'll never forget being on the air and some station in Australia calling me and wanting a report at that moment. So I ad-libbed a report.
After that happened, we had a daily topic because Charlie felt like it was risky to let people call up and vent their hatred from both sides, blacks and whites.
What I was wondering was in a way that the black people could participate in your program.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have many, many black people that participate in our program at this time. People who have a handicap.
The talk show was something that made a difference in this town. In the meantime, all around the talk show, we were still playing Ray Comet. There were little dollops of political awareness wedged in between that.
And now the latest WHER worldwide and local news. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong have made their boldest strike of the Cambodian War.
Jackie Kelly, WHER from 67 to about 69. The president of the local chapter of National Organization for Women was Marion Kaiser McGinnis, who had worked on the station. She called me up one day and gave me a lot of trouble because the public service announcement started out, Mr. Employer. And see, I didn't think anything about that at that time, because Mr. Employer was pretty much what was out there.
Do you have an interest in radio or television broadcasting? If you have a normal voice and a genuine
interest... I think they figured the novelty was going to wear off. America's first all-girl station was interesting when there were no women in broadcasting, but there were beginning to be women in broadcasting. Plus, we were playing music that the demographics didn't support. They were supporting a younger sound.
W-H-E-R.
Everything changed. There were suddenly men at the station. They paired me with a gentleman named Dick Potter, and I played the fool, and he was the intellectual one.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
This is for Elephant Stew.
Oh, come on, Dick. I thought you were serious.
As the women's movement came on and got strong and everything, W-H-E-R, they changed the call letters, put men on the air. I thought, well, isn't that strange? Here we are, women doing it, have been. Now they're going. There's no more of that. And then they called it We Radio, WWEE.
The mirrors came off, the little lipsticks came off, the pink was painted to a different color.
I'm Sylvia. I was the engineer for Dick and Jane. I never thought of working at WHER as being something historical. Yes, it was the first all-girl radio station. Yeah, I made a little history. I was the first African-American woman to work there. But you never think you're part of history.
This is Becky Phillips speaking for WHER owners, Mr. Sam Phillips and Mister Kimmons Wilson.
I'm thinking back, did I ever meet Sam the whole time I worked there? Sam Phillips was always the great mystery man. He was always listening to the station. He might not have been there, but he knew what was going on.
And all the girls here at the station, Lucy Bayless, Pam Bingham, Colleen Miliera.
There was just something special in the air when WHER was on the air. And there was something special about being inside of that radio station, too, when it was taking place. And it was not, I'm telling you, it was not a novelty very long. It was a novel idea. I mean, you know, WHER was an embryo of the egg because there wasn't anything else like it in the world.
This is WHER Radio, America's first all-girl radio station, Memphis, Tennessee. We cordially invite you to stay tuned to WHER Radio all day, every day, for sparkling, bright music, the latest worldwide news, and up-to-the-minute local...
WHER 1000 Beautiful Watts was produced by the Kitchen Sisters with Valerie Velarde and Laura Folger. Mixed by Jim McKee at Earwax Productions. WHER is part of Lost and Found Sound, a series created in collaboration with Jay Allison and NPR. Funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Fugitive Waves is produced by the Kitchen Sisters with Nathan Dalton and Brandy Howell. You can follow us on Twitter at Kitchen Sisters or share your photos on Instagram.
Go to kitchensisters.org/fugitivewaves and take a listen to Emma Nobold's piece about women in radio in Australia. Why aren't there more? Thanks, Emma, for working with the Kitchen Sisters.
Fugitive Waves is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of the best story-driven, creative, cutting-edge radio shows on Earth.
There are millions of podcasts out there to choose from. It's a jungle. Radiotopia has given people a way to find some of the best podcasts happening out there right now.
Get to know your new favorite shows at radiotopia.fm.
Radiotopia is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Fugitive Waves or other shows like it, email sponsor@prx.org.
And don't forget to subscribe to Fugitive Waves, stories from the flip side of history.
Radiotopia.